Can we read, please, from the Gospel by Matthew, chapter 18. Matthew chapter 18. Verse 15. Matthew chapter 18 and verse number 15. Moreover, if thy brother shall trespass against thee, go and tell him his fault between thee and him alone. If he shall hear thee, thou hast gained thy brother. But if he will not hear thee, then take with thee one or two more, that in the mouth of two or three witnesses every word may be established. And if he shall neglect to hear them, tell it unto the church. But if he neglect to hear the church, let him be unto thee as an heathen man and a publican. Verily I say unto you, whatsoever ye shall bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatsoever ye shall loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. Again I say unto you that if two of you shall agree on earth as touching anything that they shall ask, it shall be done for them of my Father which is in heaven. For where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst of them. Now God will bless the reading of his good word again to us today. Some have made the claim that when we speak so much about the two aspects of the church, which we have been taught about today already, that is, the church which relates to the present day, which our brothers referred to as the dispensational church, from the day of Pentecost until the rapture, and on the other hand, the local church, the local assembly, they say that when we speak about these two aspects of truth, really we only learn those things from the apostles, and that the Lord Jesus did not speak about them. But we find that when we turn to the Gospel by Matthew, that what those people who say that those people who say that are not really correct. Because in this Gospel, we find that the Lord Jesus spoke about the church, particularly in two particular sections. In chapter 16, you may remember that very remarkable and interesting conversation that took place between Christ and Peter. And on that occasion, the Lord Jesus said to him, "Upon this rock, thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church." So he referred then to the church in Matthew chapter 60. And then you'll have noticed, I'm sure, that as we've read together this afternoon in chapter 18, we read, "Tell it to the church." And then we had as the concluding verse today, those words that our dear brother Mr. Hutchison quoted in his ministry, "For where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst of them." So that we are finding now then, as we turn to the Gospel by Matthew, that the Lord Jesus spoke about these two different aspects of the church. I want to compare them just for a moment or two. If you think about the church that our brother referred to, which he spoke of as the dispensational church, that is, from the day of Pentecost until the rapture, it is composed of every true believer in Christ. Our brother emphasized that. He said it doesn't matter what their color, their creed, their background is. Once in Christ, they are placed in that body, and they are part of the church, which is his body. That is what we might call the mystical church. It cannot be seen in its entirety. Some of those who are in the church are now in heaven. Many of them are in heaven. Others, of course, are still here. And there is a day coming when all will be gathered together. In fact, it's a wonderful truth to know that in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, we read of the day when our Lord Jesus is going to come to the earth to take his own home. And it speaks of our gathering together unto him. The first time that the whole of that great company from the day of Pentecost to the rapture, will be gathered, some from the graves raised up, and the living saints caught up and gathered together to our Lord Jesus Christ. That's the whole of all the believers of the dispensation in which we presently live. It's the mystical church. It cannot be seen. It's not tangible in that sense. But I belong to a little assembly in a little village called Bishopton. And every Lord's Day in the morning they gather together to break bread. And they come together to preach the gospel. And in the week they meet at various times for different purposes, to read the scripture and to study it and to teach the boys and girls and so on. That's tangible. That's literal. It can be seen. Are you following now the difference? The universal or the dispensational church, it's mystical in the sense that it can't be seen. But the local assembly, it can be seen. It's tangible, it's real, and that's very important. Maybe we should pause for a moment just to think of this word, church. We've been reminded today already that when we meet in these gatherings, we don't come to bandy around any Greek words particularly. But this word comes, actually, this word church comes from a Greek word, which we use in our English language quite often. You've heard people speak about things ecclesiastical. And it comes from a word which is the ecclesia. Ecclesia is made up of two parts. Ek is the first part of that word, ek. And ecclesia is the second part. Now the little word ek, it means to take out of. If I put my hand into my pocket and take out my handkerchief, that's how the Greeks spoke. They used that preposition, to take out. And the word ecclesia, it means to gather together. So what God is doing in our day is this. From the day of Pentecost until the rapture, God is taking out from the world the people, saving them by his grace, redeemed through the precious blood of Christ, and gathered them into that one body that we've been speaking about. But in different localities, there are places where the children of God gather together, as we've been reminded today. And these believers have been called out from the world. Some of them called out from different backgrounds. But now they're gathered together. We've been reminded today that we don't gather to a doctrine. We do thank God for all the great doctrines of Scripture. There are many wonderful doctrines. I love the great truth of baptism, for instance. I love the great truth of the coming of the Lord. But we don't place that, those sort of names on our gathering. We don't gather to those truths. And then there are some great men of God. We look back down the years and we think of men like Luther. That great man, you know, who saw the truth of justification by faith. But we don't meet to the name of Luther. We thank God for him. We thank God for the great exercise of art that he had. But we don't gather to his name. We've a more fragrant, a more precious name to gather to than that. It's the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Listen to what he said in this beautiful verse. Where two or three are gathered together in my name. You know, I was happy just last night to go into South Main Gospel Hall, and on the outside it had those words there that were in the hall where I was married many years ago now in Northern Ireland. It said this, it's in one of my wedding photographs at home. Believers gathered to the name of our Lord Jesus Christ meet here. I think that's a beautiful thing to put on a notice board. Believers gathered to the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Only one name do we own. To one name are we gathered. It's the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. So what I want to talk to you just for a few moments about this afternoon is the fact that, not to talk about chapter 16, the mystical, the dispensational body, but I want to talk to you about the local assembly, the local church. By the way, that's really a better word to use these days. It's better to talk about the assembly than to talk about the church. I'll tell you why. Because the world in general has rather ruined this word church. You see, this word ecclesia, which means church, it's never used of a building in the Bible. Never describes a building at all. It never describes bricks and mortar. It always has to do with a gathering of people. In fact, in the New Testament, it's not even used exclusively of Christian gatherings. Remember in the book of Acts when it says, the town clerk dismissed the unlawful assembly. That was a riotous mob, but they're called an assembly. It was a company of people gathered together. But how wonderful, the Holy Spirit has placed a special significance on that name in the New Testament. And when saints gather to the name of the Lord Jesus, it's the assembly. It's the gathering of God's people to the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, if you look into the New Testament carefully, you will see that about the dispensational church that we've mentioned, the Lord Jesus said, I will build my church. Christ is the builder of the dispensational church. But the local church, in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, Paul says, I have laid the foundation, and another buildeth thereupon. I'm wanting you just to notice some distinctions between the dispensational church and the local church. So Christ is the builder in its entirety when we look at the dispensational church. What believers have to do with building into the local assembly. Let me lay the challenge with you tonight, this afternoon. Are you a builder in your local assembly? In 1 Corinthians chapter 3 that we must not go across to today, Paul speaks there about the materials with which we build. And he says in our local assembly life, we can be building in gold and silver and precious stone. Or sad to say, are you listening? Sad to say, some believers build in wood and hay and stubble. We'd love to say more about that, but we must not do that this afternoon. Then again, we find, of course, that in the universal church, the dispensational church, every believer is in it. We've heard that, and that's been clearly stated on a number of occasions today. Every believer is in it. But not every believer is in the local church. You see, you have to be gathered, and you must be received into the local assembly. We read of the Apostle Paul in Acts chapter 9, when he came to the assembly there and at Jerusalem, and the brethren didn't want to receive him at first. They were afraid of him. So he was in Jerusalem, but he wasn't in that assembly. And then he was brought, and he was commended to that assembly, and he was received. I was saved as a boy of 8. And at the age of 13, I was received into a local assembly. I thank God for the day when it took place. In a little village, I'm going to the assembly later this year, to the conference on the edge of Liverpool in Prescott, received into the local assembly. Have you been received into a local assembly? Gathered to the name of the Lord Jesus, not substituting to the doctrines of men, but only based upon what the New Testament teaches. Now, we have not come here today to insult anybody or to say anything about anything else. We've come to say what the Word of God teaches. And what it has to teach concerning these very important matters. So every believer is in the mystical church, but not every believer is in the local assembly. But you could be if you, of course, were exercised about it and saw how they gather and were exercised about that matter. We find, of course, that concerning the dispensational church, it cannot be destroyed. The Lord Jesus said, I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. But concerning local assemblies, they are planted, they are raised up of God, but sometimes they are removed. And we read in the New Testament of the Lord removing that particular lampstand. So the universal cannot be destroyed, cannot be removed, but the local assembly, it can be removed. And then, of course, now what I want us to do for a few moments, because the time will be very brief today, I want you to come now immediately to chapter 18 of Matthew. Now, there may be a question that rises. It rises in my mind anyway, so I'll voice it. And it's this. How is it that the Lord Jesus in chapter 18 speaks about the kingdom? Because those who have read carefully through the gospel by Matthew have learned that Matthew is all about the king. And the kingdom. So some people say you're telling us that the assembly is linked to the kingdom in Matthew 18. How is that? Well, that's not inconsistent at all. You see, if you had gone into the Old Testament and gone into the land of Israel, and you had gone to all its parts and to its further corners where Zebulun dwelt and over there where Issachar dwelt, they would have said, this is the kingdom. This is the place that God has given us to dwell, and the whole of the land was the kingdom. But if you had gone into Jerusalem, and you had seen that beautiful temple, you would have seen there the temple. It's in the kingdom, but it doesn't cover the whole of the kingdom. It's special. It's within the kingdom. There was a spiritual part within the kingdom. It was called the temple, and that's where God dwelt in the midst of his people. Now, that's what we have when we come to the gospel by Matthew. Matthew is teaching much kingdom truth, but he shows that God has a spiritual thing within the kingdom, and it's the church. Just wanted to clear that. That's very important. Now, what I want you to notice with me in this chapter, very briefly, because we'll just look at it broadly today, I want you to see with me that the whole of the teaching of this chapter has to do with this great truth, I believe, that the Lord Jesus left on record pictures of different circumstances in the local assembly. Look with me at the first 11 verses, just for a moment or two. And here we learn that in every assembly, we must be able to observe the spirit of the child in all our relationships as we gather together. That's the first thing I want to talk to you about, just briefly. You notice that in these early verses, you'll need to keep your Bible open and look at it with me, because we didn't read it together. Notice that in these early verses, the Lord Jesus says, now, who is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven? And I think they must have been very surprised at what he did next. You notice what he did? He called a little child unto him, and he set him in the midst. And he said, except ye be converted and become as little children, ye shall not enter into the kingdom of heaven. Therefore, whosoever shall humble himself as this little child, the same is greatest in the kingdom of heaven. Brethren, I want to say this afternoon, that what the Lord Jesus is really teaching, if you look at it carefully and examine it carefully, is this. He wants to inculcate into the spirit of some of these proud disciples the fact that what God is looking for is the spirit of the child, the spirit of humility. You know that a little child, you know when, and it is a little child that's in view here. When you look at a little child is completely guileless. There's no duplicity in a child. A child is not seeking to deceive. And it's not seeking to compare and make itself greater than the other children, a little child, you see. He's bringing in the fact of the little child. Do you know this? Our local assemblies would be healthier places and far nearer to the mind of God if the spirit of the little child characterized us in all our gatherings. You know there's a great need for humility amongst the people of God. A great need for humility. Look carefully at verse 4. Whosoever shall humble himself as this little child. So in verse 4 I'm learning I've to be humble. But look at verse 5. And whoso shall receive one such little child. So not only have I to be humble, but I've to appreciate the humility in others. You see the difference between verses 4 and 5? It's a very important difference. In verse 4, it's saying, I must be like the little child. But in verse 5, it's saying, I must appreciate the spirit of the little child in others. Now, brethren, that's a truth we need to learn. It really is. Do you know this? Sometimes it's the man of humility that we seem to push and tread down. That's the very feature that we don't appreciate. Brethren, that's the greatest feature that can be seen in the servant of the Lord. And any man, or any woman in the assembly. And the Lord Jesus is actually saying in this verse, look, he's saying, whoso shall receive one such little child in my name, receiveth me. Oh, do I need to tell you today, that this is that blessed one who left the throne, who being in the form of God, says the Apostle Paul, thinking it not robbery to be equal with God, he made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of man. He took the place of a little child. And that's what the Lord Jesus is teaching here. He wants the Spirit of Christ. You see, brethren, our assemblies wouldn't have the divisions and the difficulties and the problems that they have if we all had the spirit of the little child amongst us. Our problem is this, that there's pride amongst us, and God hates it. God hates pride. Oh, that we might remember. How often have you sat in the assembly and said, I've more ability than my brother. I could handle this far better than he could do. That's not the spirit of the little child. You see what the Lord Jesus is teaching? I mustn't stay with it now. But he's teaching in these beautiful verses the fact that the spirit of the child must characterize all of our relationships. Now, there are many other things I'd like to say about that, but we must not do it because of the time. I want you to come to the second section. The second section from verses 12 to 14. It's not a child that's in view, but it's a sheep. He turns away now to the idea of sheep. And in those verses, we are really learning that in the assembly there must always be a readiness to take account of the tendency to wander. In the assembly, there are all sorts of believers, and every one of us, if we're honest before God, we have a tendency to wander. The poet put it like this, prone to wander, Lord, I feel it. Prone to leave the God I love. And mind you, that proneness is in every one of our hearts. Listen, my brethren, there have been men who have stood at the platform and taught the saints. And a few days later, they've been wandering far from God. We must not think that the platform is inviolate from the temptations of Satan. And the Lord Jesus begins to speak about the sheep. Look what he says, how think ye, if a man have 100 sheep, and one of them be gone astray, doth he not leave the 99, and goeth into the mountains, and seeketh that which is gone astray? Now I want you to notice what it says, and if so be that he find it, verily I say, he rejoiceth more of that sheep than of the 99 which went not astray. Now look at verse 14, here it is, even so, it is not the will of your Father which is in heaven that one of these little ones, you see, I'm wanting you to see that I'm not trying to force things and bring this in to make a little nice sermon for myself, but it's the little child that's still in view. You see the idea, the context is supporting this. And the Lord Jesus is saying in verse 14, it is not the will of your Father that one of these little ones should perish. I want to speak to the elder brethren today. Oh, my dear brethren, I want to urge upon you the importance of the fact. There's a tendency to wander in every one of our hearts. Will you look with sympathy upon the saints? And will you look with kindness and love upon the flock of God that God has given you responsibility with? And remember that in your heart there's a tendency to wander. And don't be too hard with the saints, but seek them and try to bring them back. You know, it's not Luke that we're reading now. You see now, if we had the time and this was a Bible reading, it would be quite interesting to compare this parable as we have it here to the Gospel by Luke, where the sinner seems to be in view, quite a different context. But here it's in a context of the little one wandering. You know the idea? The Lord Jesus is leading up to this spiritual truth that relates to the local assembly, the tendency to wander. So, well, we've learned in the first section, that in the assembly, the spirit of the child must characterize our relationships. We've learned that in the assembly, we must always remember there's the tendency to wander. And therefore, we must be seeking the welfare of our brethren. Seeking to help them. Of the elders, you know, in Hebrews 13 it says, they watch for your souls. So, young believer, if one of the elder brethren comes and puts his hand upon your shoulder and asks you why you weren't at the meeting, don't get offended. He's doing his work for the Lord. He's watching for your soul. And he's seeking to keep you in the paths that will be pleasing to God. It's the idea of the sheep wandering. But then I want you to come to the passage we read. We read today from verse 15. Not now the child, not now the sheep, But it's a brother that's in view. You see that? A brother. And he says, if thy brother shall trespass against thee. And it's how we're going to deal with interpersonal relationships within the assembly now. That's what's in view now. And I want to say this today, that I believe many of the assemblies of God's people have been divided and rent, not because of wrong doctrine. Now Satan will try to introduce wrong doctrine, don't misunderstand. But I think more assemblies are being divided today because of personal relationships, the difficulties of brethren living together and getting on with each other. And here we have in this section, this matter being raised by our blessed Lord Jesus. Do you notice what the Lord Jesus teaches? If thy brother shall trespass against thee, go and tell him his fault between thee and him alone. Now I want you to notice what the object of this is. Here is a man and he feels that his brother has trespassed against him. He feels that he's in the wrong. Now says the Lord Jesus, if you feel that if you feel that you have been wrong, the Lord Jesus says, go and speak to that brother. And speak to him alone. Now will you notice the teaching of the verse? He says in verse 15, if he shall hear thee, thou hast gained thy brother. Not you've got your brother. You know, sometimes, brethren, there are those who would say, we'll get this procedure, so we'll get this man. That's not the object of the exercise. It's not so that you'll bring this man to the ultimate discipline that the passage teaches about. But the object of this personal confrontation or this personal interview is so that you'll gain your brother. You know, brethren and sisters, the Lord Jesus looked upon his disciples one day. If you could have seen those disciples, you know they were all different men. John was quite different from Peter. James was different again. We're all different, aren't we? Look at the difference amongst the Lord's servants and all the people of God. Look at the differences that are amongst them. He looked upon the company of his disciples, and this is what he said. Be at peace among yourselves. Be at peace among yourselves. And you know, I often think as I look round a local assembly, this brethren from every different walk in life, different backgrounds. We never would have had common ground apart from the grace of God. But God has taken all those distinctions away and he's brought us together. And the words of Christ come down the centuries today. It would say to you, a local assembly of mine, be at peace among yourselves. And here is a means that the Lord Jesus gave to achieve peace amongst the saints. Not peace at any price, but settle the problem. That's what he's really saying. And he says, if you speak to your brother, you'll gain him. You'll win him. But then, of course, in verse number 16, if he will not hear thee, then in verse 16, then take it with thee one or two more, that in the mouth of two or three witnesses, every word may be established. So the object of the first part of the exercise is this. No one else needs to know. Are you listening to that now? We are living in days when there are so many of the Lord's people, they seem to want to put every problem out for everybody to know about. We had an old brother on the Mersey side. I was just a boy when I listened to him. And you know, he was quite unique in his ministry. And I remember he was in Nehemiah one night, and he said this. He said, when I got married, you know, he said, my mother-in-law gave me a little present. And he said, it was a little brush pan, a pan with a brush, you know, the old brush pan. And he said, she gave him this, and he said, I got this brush, and he said, I started to brush the floor, you know, and he said, the dust was going. Oh, no, she said, that's not how you do it. And he said, she taught him to bring the dust in, and bring it into the pan, and don't let it fly everywhere, but bring it in. And said that brother in his unique way, that's what we should be like in the assembly. Don't brush the dust out so that everybody gets a bit of it. But bring it in and try and keep it circumscribed. Is that how you deal with troubles in the assembly? Or do you tell brother such and such a body that such and such a person is having a problem? I tell you, brethren, the assembly can be an awful place of gossip, you know. It's a danger. The Lord Jesus says, alone. But then if that fails, Then he says in these verses, he says, in the mouth of two or three, interesting, significant words there to be considered, two or three. So he says, if he neglect two or three witnesses, that every word may be established, and if he shall neglect to hear them, then it comes to the assembly. There's the assembly gathered. You see verse 17? So the Lord Jesus is teaching assembly truth here in this chapter. Tell it to the assembly. And then it says, if he neglect to hear the assembly, let him be unto thee as an heathen man and a publican. Now, brethren are divided as to how that they should interpret that, but I'm quite clear in my mind anyway. I can't see that that can mean anything else but that the brother has to be put away from the assembly fellowship. If he's wrong in his relationship, how can two brethren sit at the breaking of bread and remember the Lord Jesus? Sit in alleged happy fellowship when they're not one with each other. Oh, that we might see the importance. But these are the steps that the Lord Jesus taught how brothers relate to each other. It would apply to sisters, of course, just in the same way, in the local assembly. And then, of course, you'll notice in verse 18 what we are learning. Look at verse 18. My time is nearly gone, but do look at it carefully. What I say unto you verily, whatsoever ye shall bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. Brethren, the most important court upon earth today in the eye of God is the local assembly. And what we're really learning is this. What the assembly does, its decisions are being ratified in heaven. Now, we'd like to stay with that. We mustn't do it. I'll close by saying that the last section is from verse 21 to 39. And it's not a child or a sheep or a brother, but it's a bondservant that's in view. Look at it at your leisure. You'll see that what we're learning there is this. As we deal with each other in the assembly, we must deal with each other with a sense of our own debt. It's a remarkable story. The Lord Jesus, Peter comes to the Lord Jesus in verse 21. How often shall I sin, my brother sin against me, and I forgive him? What if this happens, says Peter, once, and I get the thing sorted out, and he sins against me again, that's twice. How often? Says Peter, till seven times? Oh, says the Lord Jesus, not seven times. For until 70 times 7. And then he says, look, he said, the kingdom of his heaven is like unto a kingdom, a certain king. And he tells that remarkable story of the man who had been forgiven so much. And then a man who had been owed so much and he was forgiven, the debt was clear. And then another comes to the man who had been clear. And that man is unwilling to do what had been done. You see the idea? We haven't the time to look at the detail, but to deal with each other with a sense of our own debt. Oh, brethren, if only we remembered we're just poor, forgiven sinners, really. Oh, I know we've been raised with dignity, and I know we're priests. And I know there are beautiful titles of dignity that are ascribed to us, but there's another sense in which we're only poor sinners who've been saved. And if we remember, we've got to have a sense of debt. And we dealt with each other like it would make a big difference to our assembly testimony. Here is a chapter that contains that verse we so often quote, where two or three are gathered together in my name. There am I in the midst. As we do close tonight, this afternoon, are we remembering that? Our dear brother emphasized it so beautifully today. The Lord Jesus is in the midst of his people. Every time that the saints gather, the Lord is in the midst. If we really had a sense of his presence, the spirit of the child would be seen. If we really believed that the Lord Jesus was amongst us, brethren and sisters, we would remember the saints are like sheep and sometimes they wander. If we really believed he was amongst us, we would settle our differences. And if we really believed that he was there, we would gaze upon his wounds and remember we've been forgiven. And we be prepared to forgive others. May the Lord.